The Metis Tech Show.
Welcome to the Metis Tech Show, a show for HVAC professionals by HVAC professionals.
The Metis Tech Show. BCBC.
All right, so what was the weirdest thing you had to do?
I would say cleaning the deck with a scuzz brush. So you know those brushes that we used to buff our boots with?
Yeah.
Right? So I would say there's, 45 of us maybe in that squad bay. And every week for field day, which I found out was inside, not outside like you are in grade school or high school, right? We would start on one corner of that squad bay with a scuzz brush. And everybody would have to sweep all of the sand and everything from outside, right? Because it's South Carolina, right? All the way down. I mean, it must have taken us at least 2 hours just to do that. Then it had to be mopped, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one day it was hot, but it wasn't too hot. I was asked, told to mow a parade field. I was given toenail clippers and a ruler. Every blade of grass had to be exactly the same height. And after, I don't know, many hours out there, I think I had like a 6-inch by 6-inch patch done. And that sticks out.
But it was all the same height, right?
It's all the same height. You know, if they had given me another 75 years, I could have finished.
There you go.
As long as it didn't grow. Anyway, welcome to the Metis Tech Show. It's Mitsubishi Electric Train US, the Metis Tech Show. My name is Paul Shavs. I am the Senior Training Manager for Metis. Joining me today is Chris Morin, who is the Regional Sales Manager for Metis. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks. You're also an author, and you're a founder of a popular HVAC pro blog, and you've written a book, and the book is entitled Opportunities in HVAC, Advice for the Apprentice, Business Owner, and Everyone in Between. Chris, thanks again for being here on the Metis Tech Show. So tell us a little bit about what you do with Mitsubishi.
Oh, man. So for the last almost 8 years, I've been with Mitsubishi on the sales team here in Massachusetts. Right now, I'm the regional sales manager for Eastern Mass and Rhode Island. I have a few guys working with me. We handle, I'd say, somewhere in the range of 250 diamond contractors locally and 4 great distributors. So I can say that we have one of the fastest growing markets in the United States, and there's always something new every day.
Wow. So you're doing all that. You've got a blog. You're an author, so you don't have a whole lot of sitting around time.
No, my family keeps me busy too. Yeah, right, if I do find Eddie.
So when were you first introduced to the HVAC trade?
Oh man, about 25 years ago now. So I was 17 in my first job. Actually, it was a little bit earlier than that. I went to Minuteman Regional High School. It's a tech school in Lexington, Mass. And I thought I wanted to be a cook, actually. So I did one semester. I aced it, but it was the most boring thing. I couldn't picture myself doing that day to day. My father had just got retrained back. This was in the early 90s when there was a lot of retraining going on to take a job in HVAC. A lot of my friends were in that trade, and I decided to make a change then. And really happy I did, obviously.
Yeah, good. And you also served 2 tours in Iraq. You're a Marine. Thank you for your service.
No problem.
How did that experience prepare you for your role in HVAC?
Yeah, so I actually went in the Marines to get away from the trade, believe it or not. Yeah. But then they made me a refrigeration mechanic, which was a great kick downstairs, right?
Typical military.
Yeah, needs of the Marine Corps, son, is what they told me.
Yep.
So first tour, obviously, there wasn't too much refrigeration happening, despite being in the desert. I was there for the invasion in 03. Actually, I was tied to a British unit. But the second trip, I was there just before the big Fallujah push and their first elections. And we had to set up, oh my gosh, it was well over 200, believe it or not, Mitsubishi ductless splits, intense. So we had no tools. It was interesting. We had no flaring block, no vacuum pump. We just swept those lines, and those things ran great for the 7 months I was there through sandstorms and extreme weather.
Yeah, that's also typical military. Just get it done.
Yep.
Get it done. Don't care how you do it. Just get it done. So, Chris, it seems like you just don't stop. With your current role at Mitsubishi and an HVAC blog and a book, how do you find time to balance all these projects?
You know, I wake up early. I don't waste a lot of time watching TV. I tend to prioritize well and block a lot of stuff. So, you know, you may see some YouTube videos that I record in batches when I find time on a Saturday morning before I head out with the family. You know, the book was a little bit more work, even though it's not that long. That was something I wanted to actually write before I started the blog 12 years ago. So that was the intent of learning to write on a regular basis so I could write the book. So it seemed like it was a long time coming. As you know, it's people that think there's overnight success. It's not the case. Yeah, it's just being consistent for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So the job growth in the HVAC trade, as well as other skilled trades, you know, it's just currently rising. And you do mention in your book that HVAC jobs have already grown 11.6% since 2016. Do we have enough people coming into the trades to sustain that growth?
Yeah, unfortunately not right now. I think that's a pain point for every business out there that's thriving. We are losing more people in the HVAC trade than we're gaining.
Wow.
A great example is locally there's a tech school that I hope my daughter goes to that graduates close to 30 kids every year with high honors. And I'd say one or two actually take a job in the trade. The rest leave and you know, find some sort of degree in the arts or something.
Yeah, I think that's typical for most trade schools, you know, the public trade schools. I think that's pretty typical. So you've been very proactive with reaching out to the vocational schools in this area anyway, in introducing the students to the amazing opportunities available. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what I found is a lot of the students are not getting the whole story. Right, so their guidance counselors and their teachers are pushing them towards college, incredible debt. Right, it's unfortunate how these schools are structured and where they're being pointed when there's a huge opportunity just junior year to try our trade. Right, they can go out on co-op as long as they have good grades and actually experience some of the jobs that they're doing. So. The main point of bringing them into the Mitsubishi facility and showing them the opportunity is not just about our product, but more about all of the different jobs and opportunities in the trade. If you don't like being an installer, that's fine. There's so many other opportunities. I personally carried tools for the first 2 months on my co-op job for a service guy, and then they sent me around. I worked for a mechanical company, and I learned everything from threading pipe to – duct sealing, all the crappy jobs that kids get to start, right?
Yeah.
And I learned what I like to do, and I stuck with it.
Oh. I know when you were working in the trade, I think we've bumped into each other.
Yeah, more than once, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I had to fix all your stuff.
Yeah, of course you did. That's not true. We're going to strike that later. My favorite part of your book is where you break down the basic skills needed to be an installer or a service tech. You mentioned there was always a stigma attached to the installer and that somehow being an installer is looked down on as being second rate. How important is a technician who dedicates his craft to the installation, to just installation?
Man. Yeah, it's instrumental for everything in the business, right? I think that if you're able to install a system correctly the first time, you can be the most valuable part of that business. And I know plenty of installers that make way more money than service techs at the same company.
Yeah.
Because they're reliable. They show up on time, ready to work. They do not go over on their allotted amount of time that was quoted for the job. And they do it at the highest quality, right? And you have an opportunity every day or two, particularly if you're installing Mitsubishi products, to improve that process, right, and get better and teach another person so that way you can split that crew. It's a huge part of our business that I wish every technician actually had to start out as an installer.
Yeah.
You know, then you'd realize you wouldn't just complain, right? I've been on the technician side for a long time, and I had plenty of complaints where I should have been explaining.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and I love those jobs, you know, that you see where it's a work of art. I mean, when you get a good installer, you find your niche as an installer. you're an artisan. You know, it reminds me, you know, you come across these stone walls that were built by these old timers, came from the old country, and they're masons. They use nothing but their hands and stones and cement, and these walls are just beautiful. I've actually seen HVAC jobs that look like that. They look like artisans did it. So,
I'm happy to say I have one of those in my basement. Actually, I didn't do the installation, but company I used to work for years ago, a senior plumber there came over and put in a one pipe steam boiler, wow, for replacement at my house, and it is a work of art. It's not something you normally see anymore with the 2.5 to 3 inch pipe threaded, done correctly. It's one of those things that, you know, here in the United States, we hide in our basement, where I think we should put them in the kitchen like they do in Europe.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, everybody can see it. No, it's a beautiful thing when you can see that. So, Chris, my own personal experience, growing up, I never considered myself to be mechanically inclined. I didn't know the difference between a Phillips screwdriver and a needle nose pliers. You know, I just fell into this trade. I had, you know, an older brother who was in it, and I just found myself in it. And I realized, hey, I can do this. I'm pretty good at this. I am mechanically inclined. So what would you say to that young person who's listening to us and saying, oh, that's not for me. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough to do that.
Yeah, imposter syndrome's pretty bad, right? Yeah. I think that's hard to overcome until you actually try it. I had a similar experience going from culinary arts to HVAC, right? And I realized I liked it when we started looking at electrical diagrams. I could read an electrical diagram and everybody else in class had trouble and I was helping them. I think that's where the teaching part came in too, right? So I think what's great is if you don't like one aspect of it, let's say installation like we were talking about, there's plenty of jobs out there on the service side that you can go and fix those installations, let's say, or those callbacks. Or the reward that I used to feel when I would go out there and it was Christmas Day and they had no heat and I would replace the thermostat or whatever and the family just loved you for it and you could see it on their face when you left. So there's other aspects of the trade other than turning a wrench, right? And until you try it or you feel it or you experience it, it's really hard to just excuse it as that's not for me. And what you'll find is it definitely is for you, and it's for a lot of people that don't stick with it maybe sometimes.
Yeah, I've always compared the trade similar to the medical field, right? You can be a doctor, you can be a technician, but you can be a doctor that does orthopedics, a doctor that does cardiology, pulmonology, right? You can specialize in all these different things. In a HVAC trade, you're not just a technician or an installer. There's a wide variety of different roles. Let's talk some about those.
Yeah, I mean, we have companies, like I started out with a mechanical company that does everything from plumbing to electrical to commercial or residential, right? There's also companies here in the Northeast that only do Mitsubishi ductless systems.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really easy to be an expert when you only have to work on one thing, yeah, right? So there's a broad range of opportunities that really, if you have a bad experience in one job or one company, I'm not going to say the grass is greener on the other side, but there's probably an opportunity that fits you better on the other side if that's the case. So, you know, if installations isn't for you, service maybe. Maybe sales. I never thought I was going to be a salesman growing up. I'll tell you that. It was an interesting change for me about 8 years ago. But I think doing installations and doing service for so long made me a better salesperson.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that everybody should start off as an installer if it was up to you. And I agree with you. The best service guys started off as installers a lot of the times. So I want to generalize. So some of the sales guys that I know, a lot of the sales guys I know also started off, you know, as installing, servicing, and so on. You know, I was a director of education at a career school, right? And I started off in a truck. Yeah. I started off, you know, as a helper, you know, in doing some installs and eventually worked my way up. So there's plenty of opportunities in this field to grow and go in different areas. You can specialize in controls, right? There's building management systems you could specialize in. You mentioned there are companies out there that do just Mitsubishi mini splits. Other companies do oil, don't do gas, do gas, don't do oil, do water, do air. So there's a lot to it. Just like you can be a doctor in anything medical, you can be in the HVAC trade and pick yourself from hundreds of different roles, yeah, in the trade, including what I ended up with students teaching.
Right. Yeah, it's a crazy path on looking back on where you end up, right?
Yeah.
And I think what's great about the trade right now is the technology advancement and what's available to the younger crowd, right? So there's a lot of older technicians that are not good when it comes to Wi-Fi controls, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
That is second nature to people like my daughter, who's 12, right?
Yeah.
She could probably run circles around some of the guys we have when it comes to setting up a Kumo cloud adapter, right?
Yeah.
And really when you're diagnosing some of our systems, it's like working on a small computer. And sometimes you need your computer in order to actually diagnose it, right? So that kind of technology that's available in our trade now speaks really well to the people that grew up with it. And it's a huge opportunity, and it's a, you know, not just for men, right? But there's a huge opportunity for women in every aspect of our trade as well.
Yeah, we actually have a different podcast that talks about women in HVAC. But getting back to what you just said, it's, I think for the younger people, they have an advantage over somebody like my age. I remember the first time I looked at a Mitsubishi outdoor unit. I open the cover and there's a printed circuit board in there and it's upside down. And I'm like, what? I was totally intimidated, right? Somebody today, we look at it and say, no, it's just a printed circuit board, you know. They're not going to let it phase them.
Yeah. Right?
So it's that fear you got to get over. And I think maybe that's an advantage for the younger people. They won't have that fear of technology.
Yeah, or fear of learning, actually, sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
In that instance, right? They want to keep up with that kind of stuff where it's almost dreadful for some of the older guys.
Yeah, no, right? And that's the important thing in this trade. Again, relating it to the medical field. You don't just become a doctor and stop learning. You're always learning. You always go into some type of schooling. It's just continuous. There's research and there's learning. You do well in this trade when you never stop learning.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, any trade.
Yeah, right, any Paul? Trade. Yeah, any trade. Keep learning.
Yeah. You know, I think even the way we've done training is starting to cater towards the younger crowd too. The training that we used to do in person that was more of a salesy type pitch, right, about products and benefits and features. Now it's e-learning first to get all of that stuff out of the way so that way your time is spent very valuably in person with your hands on the equipment and meters and stuff like that, right? So it really speaks to those types of learners and the people that we want in our training.
Yeah, it's nothing, you know. And like you said, we have computers. Sometimes we need to work on and diagnose our equipment. And, you know, you'll see the guy like me that, you know, I can't find the any key, you know, and these younger kids come in and boom, boom, they got it set up. The drivers are installed. Okay, well, where do I go? Let's go.
Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story. I was so proud of the first time I edited one of my YouTube videos. I did the intro and the outro, right? I had a little music to it. It was really cool, in my opinion. Of course, it took me way too long. But when it was all done, I said, the real test is my daughter, right? And this was a couple of years ago, so she was probably 10. I walked into that room, and I was like, check it out. That's what you've been working on all day? I could have done that in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Kids, get away from me. Kid, you bother me.
Yeah.
So, Chris, how can folks listening to us make a difference? So what should they be doing to get younger people interested in joining the trade? What should business owners be doing? What should distributors be doing? What should technicians, anybody? What are some of the things that we can do to help get these young people?
Yeah, I think the first step you need to do is get involved with the local trade school. I think the companies that are constantly hiring the best technicians are involved locally. They may be on advisory boards. They might be on committees. I think it's really important to start there to see the local children and to understand what they're learning and where you can help. Once you're involved there and you actually take a kid on co-op or somebody over the summer, you have to learn how to be a mentor and really show them what's available in the trade. Don't just, you know, send them to get coffee and sweep the floor at the office, right? Make sure you're out there teaching them and, you know, walking them through what you think is just the basics. And they probably needed to learn in school, but they were too busy talking to their friends. I mean, I learned more the first 2 months on co-op than I did the previous 2.5-3 years.
Yeah. I used to say that, you know, the HVAC school doesn't prepare you to work in the field. It gives you the tools necessary to learn the trade. The trade is learned in the truck. And I agree with you. I think that's important what you just said. You know, a young student comes in, they're on co-op, it's their first week out of school. You have to take the time and explain. like you mentioned earlier, you got to take the time and explain, this is why you don't do this. This is why we're doing it. You know, and if you take that time and, you know, and you cultivate that student, that in apprentice, for lack of a better word, they're going to grow. And if they grow and as they learn and as they enhance their skills, it's a win-win.
It is. And everybody. As a mentor, too, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to get back to the basics, explaining it to a point that that student can understand. And it's going to help you get back to the basics and have a clear understanding. As you know, as a trainer, you can't train unless you're the expert.
No.
So, you know, as a mentor, I would say make sure you prepare yourself for a lot of questions, you know, where you may be listening to a podcast as you're driving down the street. Now you're listening to the kid ask a lot of questions on the way to the job.
Yeah. No, I think it's Ben Franklin that has that quote, in order to teach, one must first be willing to learn. So, yeah, I was surprised when I started teaching how much more I had to learn about stuff I already knew about.
Yeah, I still freshen up.
Yeah, no, you have to. You have to. So what advice would you get? Would you give for someone considering a job in the HVAC field? I'm a senior in high school. I haven't gone to a voc school, let's say. And, you know, is that something I could sort of consider? What advice would you give to that young person?
Yeah, just start, right? So I typically tell our students when we get those vocational schools through our facility, if you're interested over the summer or you're interested in co-op, go to our dealer locator, find the elite diamond contractors that are on there. I can almost guarantee in the Northeast, almost every one of them is hiring right now at every level because they need the help. There's just not enough. Yeah. Our growth is outpacing the help that we have to install these systems. So try it. I think that's the number one thing. Try it. You need to be punctual. You need to be ready to work. You know, if you're going to go on a job interview and they ask you, when can you start? I hope it's today and you're dressed like you're going to be able to work today.
Yeah.
So.
And put your cell phone away.
Yeah.
Put your cell phone away and listen. All right, Chris. So I'm an HVAC business owner and I'm looking to hire somebody. Should I be looking for somebody with lots of experience? Or should I be focusing on the younger people with little or limited experience?
Yeah, so it's like the chicken and the egg, right?
Yeah.
So what I would say is every single day when I'm out in front of a contractor, I hear the complaint that I can't find qualified help. And they're all looking for somebody experienced in that instance. And this goes on for years, right? So obviously I've been here almost 8 years and I hear the same guys complaining about the same thing. And I tell them, you know, if 3 years ago you would have just hired somebody out of school, they'd have 3 years experience now and you'd be doing great work and they'd be training the next person. And I like to think about it when I was handed a rifle on Paris Island, right? So when they hand out the rifles on Paris Island, obviously there's a little bit of nervousness for people that have never held a rifle before and they hand it to you and they ask you, have you ever shot a rifle before? And, you know, wide-eyed, I said, no. And they said, great, you're going to be the best shot here. Because you're actually going to take direction. You don't have any bad habits. You're not going to use Kentucky windage and all the other stuff that guys use when they try to learn it on their own, right? And lo and behold, I was a pretty decent shot, right? Because I took that direction. I learned from the master, right?
Oh, that's a good analogy. It's actually perfect, you know, because, you know, I'm an old timer, right? You know, you got those old timers that come along. Yeah, they have those bad habits where they're not going to do a triple evac and, you know, they're not going to seal that copper and it's cold. It's good enough. I don't need a micron gauge. I don't need a scale. You know, all those bad habits, it can get people doing things right from the beginning.
I asked a guy one time where his recovery machine was because I didn't see it on the truck and he took a sheet metal screw out of his pocket. It's classic.
Yeah, I had I can't say that because it was, no, never mind. We'll move on. All right. So, Chris, how can our audience subscribe to your HVAC Pro blog?
Oh, thanks, Paul. Yeah. So if you go to HVACProblog.com, there's an easy way to keep in contact with me there. It's free weekly newsletters. There's also a lot of other content on there that you could catch up on. Or you can find me over on YouTube, right? Yep. HVAC ProBlog channel. Actually, it's funny. Even people I work with recognize me from the YouTube channel instead of the Mitsubishi role.
That's funny.
So.
All right. And the book again is titled Opportunities in HVAC, Advice for the Apprentice, Business Owner, and Everyone in Between. And Chris, where can people find that book?
Yeah, Paul, that's available exclusively on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com and just search Opportunities in HVAC, it should be the first result. You can get it electronically or, of course, in a paperback.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. Chris, thank you for being here. Those of you listening, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at the Metis Tech Show at hvac.mea.com. If you'd like more information on training and other things, go to MitsubishiComfort.com. Click on Professionals and Four Pros to get to our classes. If you need technical information, you can visit MyLinkDrive.com. Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So do you still remember your sergeant's names?
No idea. It was a different lifetime ago.
No, I do. For me, it was four decades ago. And I can tell you every drill sergeant I had, every name they used to call me.
Good impression or bad impression they made?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of a wise ass when I was younger. So I used to get in a lot of trouble.
I had the experience of I got close to the end of boot camp and they actually didn't know my name, which was awesome.
That's good.
That means I just blended in, made it through the weeks.
Went with the flow.
There you go.
All right.